How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. This is a psalm of David. It is not one of the more familiar psalms, but without a doubt, the psalm was written during a period of great personal distress and trial. And David, of course, had many such times in his life. And therefore, it's really impossible to tell the specific time, the specific place of this particular psalm. And certainly what we read here could be used more than once with David in his life. But this psalm, like all the psalms, very practical. Again, all the psalms are extremely practical. For every human emotion, for every human experience, there is a passage in the Psalms to teach us how to properly respond to that emotion or that experience. Again, the 13th Psalm, like all the Psalms, is filled with help. It's filled with great amount of encouragement. It's a source of strength. It's a source of peace. It's a source of hope for the child of God. You can't help but notice that the psalm begins, David is very distressed, discouraged, but by the end, by the time you get to verse 5 and 6, he's encouraged and he's very excited. So the psalm begins with some agitation and it ends with calm. Again, there's a big difference between verses 1 and 2 and verses 5 and 6. The psalm begins with despair, and yet it ends with praise, though it's a short psalm. The psalm is a picture of moving from the depths of despair to the heights of praise. And by reading this psalm, there's much that we can observe. There's much that we can learn. We want to speak this evening on the way to a life of song. He said there in verse 6, I will sing unto the Lord. We want to notice what brought him to that point. In this psalm, David is communing and he is talking with the Lord. And herein lies the answer for the dark days of the soul. Talking to the Lord. Communing with the Lord. Again, there's a sharp contrast between verses 1 and 2 and verses 5 and 6. And what we have in this psalm explains how David got from verses 1 and 2 to verses 5 and 6. Notice, first of all, in verses 1 and 2, there was an honest expression of what he was feeling. The problem many times with our praying is that we come to God trying to act like something and somebody that we're not. That's human nature. And many times we go to God and we're not honest with God. We lie to God. We do not tell God our true feelings. Many times that's out of fear. But we need to be honest with God because God already knows. God knows your heart. You can tell him whatever you want, but God knows your heart. In real praying, I believe we will be honest with God. Even if it means the expression of feelings that are not accurate, we'll still be honest with the Lord. The Lord knows that we're but dust. The Lord knows that we are a poor and needy people. And if we're going to have a sincere relationship with the Lord, there has to be honesty. You have to be honest with God. But because of a general misunderstanding of the character of God, and I believe many of God's people just do not understand the character of God, and that's due to a lot of things, but we're not going there. But due to a misunderstanding of the character of God, many lack honesty in their praying. Do not be afraid to be honest with God. Do not be afraid to be honest with God concerning how you are feeling, concerning what you are thinking. You say, well, my thinking isn't right. That may be so. But again, God already knows it. Don't try to tell God something that isn't so. Don't try to be something that you're not before God. Don't try to be somebody that you're not before God. He knows. Now looking at verses 1 and 2, four times David asks, how long? How long? Four times we see that in those first two verses. The repetition of these words, how long, are indicative of discouragement. They are indicative of impatience on the part of David in regards to God. You ever get impatient with God? We all do. We all do. But how many people are honest enough to tell that to the Lord? Not many. But God already knows. God already knows. The repetition of these words, how long, also indicate that he was going through a time of prolonged trial. A time of prolonged distress and trouble and anxiety. They're also, the words how long are indicative of one who is weary. Weary with their circumstances. You ever get tired of your circumstances? You ever tell God that? That would be being honest with the Lord. Well, it's not right to complain. Well, you're complaining in your mind. He already knows. Don't try to pretend to be something you're not. Be honest with God. Don't be afraid to be honest with God. You say, well, God may punish me. Well, you already have the thoughts. He can punish you for that. Be honest with God. It's more serious to think one thing and tell God something else. That's lying to God. We need to be honest with the Lord. How long serves as a picture of a soul in search for answers. As you read verses 1 and 2, you see that David is in search for answers. He's not only in search for answers, he's longing for relief. And he's talking with the Lord. So four times, we want to notice how these words are used four times. In verse 1, he says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" Those words reveal the feeling of David at that time. The word forget has the meaning of something lost through neglect or inattention. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Notice David did not ask, "Lord, have you forgotten me?" That's not what he asked. He said, "Lord, how long? How long wilt thou forget me?" He is saying that God had forgotten him. Is that an accurate feeling? Of course not. But it's honest. It's honest. I mean, it would be completely different to you for you to think in your mind, "God has forgotten me," and then to pray, "Lord, I know that you don't forget anybody," but you're thinking in your mind that he's forgotten you. That's dishonesty. So David says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" In those words, David is feeling that he perhaps is being mistreated by God. "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" There's a feeling of mistreatment. There's a feeling that he has not been properly cared for by God. And he's expressing how he feels to the Lord. I believe you and I would find a lot of comfort from God if we would be honest in expressing our feelings and our thinking when we talk with the Lord. David is feeling that the Lord is not really concerned about his particular circumstances. "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" Again, he's not asking, "Lord, have you forgotten me?" He's already said God has forgotten him. And he's saying, "Lord, how long is it going to go on? How long are you not going to be concerned about my particular circumstances?" In those words, I also see a degree of self-pity. David is feeling sorry for himself. We all get there, but how many are honest enough to tell God that? "Lord, I'm feeling sorry for myself today. Lord, I feel like you have forgotten me." Well, I wouldn't dare say that. You think it. And he knows. And he knows. We can be sure that the Lord never forgets his people. Notice in Isaiah 49, though we may express the feeling that God has forgotten us, and have we not all had times when we felt forgotten of God? We've all been there. But we know that he hasn't. Isaiah 49, verse 14. "But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and the Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget." It's rare, but it's possible. "Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? And then notice David answers that question with another question. Forever? Forever? Lord, it's been long enough. Are you going to continue this forever? That word forever is indicative of despair. It's indicative of hopelessness. Again, going on, it says there in verse 1, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Once again, he did not say, Lord, are you hiding your face from me? He did not say, Lord, I feel like you are hiding your face from me. That's not what he said. He is saying that God is hiding his face, and he wants to know how long. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? In the Word of God, the manifestation of God's face is a picture of God's bestowal of blessings. So, by these words, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me, we get a more clear idea of David's feelings, of what he was thinking at this time. He is feeling that God is withholding blessing from him. He also sees nothing good in his present circumstances. He has lost sight of God's goodness to him. He's feeling all alone. God has forgotten me. God is hiding his face from me. He is feeling out of touch with the Lord. And if you're a child of God, that is going to lead to a feeling of desperation. And I believe that's where David was. You may say, well, it's right. It's not right for David to feel that way. Yeah, well, that's true. It's not. Doesn't change the way he felt, though. And it wasn't the first time that David felt this way. Notice in Psalm 10 and verse 1, he said, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? Again, he didn't ask, Lord, are you standing afar off? Lord, it feels like you're standing afar off. That's not what he said. He said, why? Are you standing afar off? Why are you deliberately standing afar off from me? And then, why hidest thou thy face in times of trouble? So Psalm 13 isn't the first time that David had these feelings. But notice in both places, Psalm 10 verse 1, Psalm 13, he's talking to God. He's honest with the Lord. Even Job felt this way. In Job 23 and verse 3, he says, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. He felt as if God hath withdrawn his presence from him. And we've all felt that way. We've all been there. Again, David was being honest with God. Don't be afraid to be honest with the Lord. Don't be afraid to be honest with God. Notice how long, verse 2, shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall I take counsel in my soul? The word counsel there has reference to thoughts, meditations. David has become a prisoner to his own thoughts. And there are many of God's people who are prisoners to their own thoughts. And we all are from time to time. Don't be afraid to tell God that you are a prisoner to your own thoughts. He's the only one who can help you. Don't be afraid to be honest with God. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? It's present tense. It's an ongoing thing. How long shall I take counsel in my soul? The word soul indicates that this is more than just an emotional or mental battle. It's a spiritual battle. And it's important for God's people that we properly identify battles. Well, I'm having a battle with thoughts today. That is a spiritual battle. I'm having a battle with emotions. That can be a spiritual battle. Don't misidentify your battles. How long shall I take counsel in my soul? How long shall I be a prisoner to my own thoughts? The word sorrow means, he goes on, he says, having sorrow in my heart daily. That means grief and anguish. And this was relentless. It was daily. It was every day. David felt this grief and anguish. But he was honest enough to tell God. He did not pretend to be something or somebody that he wasn't. Notice again, verse 2, how long shall mine, that's personal, mine enemy, that's real, be exalted over me? The word enemy, of course, immediately we think of something against us, something that's opposed to us, something that is a hindrance, a working force against us. And he said, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? That is, the enemy was above him. The enemy was standing over him. So what is David feeling? He is feeling that he's losing the battle. He's feeling that he has a feeling here of defeat. The enemy is exalted over me. David is saying, I feel defeated, Lord. Have you ever felt defeated? Have you ever felt defeated? We all have. But how many are honest enough to tell God, Lord, I'm defeated. The enemy prevails over me. Don't be afraid to be honest with God. Why? Because God is merciful. God is gracious. Getting back to, many misunderstand the character of God. Well, if I tell God how I feel, He's going to strike me. If that were the case, He would strike you for thinking it. God is merciful. God is gracious. Be honest with God. I mean, what's worse? Being honest with God, even though our thoughts are inaccurate, or lying to Him? I would think lying, when He knows our hearts. So from these first two verses, we see the feeling of discouragement. Do you ever get discouraged? Do you tell God you're discouraged? Who better to tell? There's impatience. in these first two verses. People get impatient with God all the time. But very few are honest enough to tell God that. There's self-pity here. We all have bouts of self-pity. Are you honest enough to tell God? Well, it's not right to have self-pity. No, it's not. But you still tell God. There's despair here. There's hopelessness. Well, a child of God should never feel hopeless. That's true. But have you not felt hopeless? We all have that. But we need to tell God that. There's loneliness here. How long wilt thou forget me? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? This is a lonely individual. He doesn't feel the presence of God. If you don't feel the presence of God, tell God that. Don't pretend you do when you don't. There's desperation. There's bondage. He's in bondage to his own thoughts. Again, I believe a lot of people, they live their whole life in bondage to their thoughts. And I believe if they were honest and just tell God, they wouldn't have to live that way. Because God could help them, or would help them. And there's defeat. And I'm glad the Bible addresses all of these situations, because every one of them is our condition from time to time. And the Bible addresses these things. So we see, first of all, there was an honesty with God. But there is great distress. Then notice, from honesty to God, telling God how he felt, telling God what he was thinking, this led to a beseeching of the Lord. I mean, how can you honestly beseech the Lord if you're not honest enough to tell God your thoughts? So he begins to beseech. He begins to plead with God. Verse 3 is really the heart of the psalm. He says, consider me. Lord, you've forgotten me. Again, he didn't ask, Lord, have you forgotten me? He says, how long will you forget me? Lord, you have forgotten me. That was inaccurate, but that's what he was feeling. Lord, you've hid your face from me. But this led him to plead with God, consider me. Consider me. These words are in the imperative. That is, they are indicative that this is an earnest prayer, not just a casual passing request. And because people fail to be honest with God, most praying is just that, a casual passing request. But this is earnest. This is urgent. The word consider means to look at. Lord, look at me. He's already said God has hidden his face from me. He says, Lord, look at me. Look at me. Lord, look at me intently with care. He's already said basically that God has ceased to care. And now he begins to plead, Lord, look at me. Look at me. There's a sense of urgency. This is the prayer of one who feels their need and feels that only God can meet their need. You have to be honest enough to tell God your need. Whether your need is legitimate or not, you have to be honest enough to tell God. God's people need to be brought to this place where they feel their need and they know God is the only one who can help me. In a time of spiritual battle, in a time of discouragement, in a time where you feel impatient, in a time where you begin to feel sorry for yourself, in a time when you begin to feel despair and hopelessness and loneliness, you need to pray, Lord, look at me! Lord, show your care for me. When you become a prisoner to your own thoughts, when your mind turns against you, and that can be one of your greatest enemies today, your own mind. And when it happens, you need to plead with God. First of all, you need to be honest with God. Lord, my mind is an enemy. Consider me, Lord. Look at me, Lord. So you need to be honest. And then you need to pray earnestly. This is what David is doing. In times of defeat, don't go to God when you are feeling defeated and pretend that you're victorious. God knows. Tell God about your defeat. Tell God how defeated you are. And then earnestly pray, Lord, you've got to help me. This is what David was doing. Notice as he continues to pray. Verse 3. Hear me, O Lord my God. Hear me. This doesn't just mean to listen. God always hears. But it carries the idea of, Lord, answer me. Lord, respond to me. When you have those times and it seems like God is afar off, you need to get on your knees and you need to pray, Lord, answer me. Respond to me. The answer is not going on a trip. The answer is not going to the mall. The answer is to plead with God. Lord, look at me. Answer me. Respond to me. Beg and plead with the Lord. Again, consider me. Hear me, O Lord, my God. Even though he feels that God has forgotten him, even though he feels that God has hidden his face from him, he says, O Lord, my God, hear me. Throughout the Psalms, David pleaded for the Lord to hear. Several Psalms when David said, hear me, O Lord. Which means that David was talking, but it didn't feel like to him that God was listening. So what do you do in those times? You need to plead. You need to beg. You see, we do just the opposite. Well, God isn't listening. I'm not going to talk to him anymore. Well, how's that working? It doesn't help you. Well, I'll blame someone else. And how's that work? You still never get to verse 5 and 6. Doing it that way, you never will. Then notice what else he prayed. Lighten my eyes. He feels the darkness. And he feels the need for light. Notice Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? You ever been there? Well, a child of God shouldn't be there. It's not what I asked. Have you ever been there? Where it's dark and there is no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. When that happens, when you walk in darkness and there is no light, trust in the Lord and stay upon his God. And that's what David is doing here in this 13th Psalm. Lighten my eyes. That's the same as praying that the Lord would open his eyes to see things as he ought to see them. It seems to me by the time we get here, lighten my eyes, David has realized that his thoughts that he expressed in verses 1 and 2, especially that thou hast forgotten me and hidden thy face, that he needs to think differently. And he's praying, Lord, open my eyes. Cause me to see what I need to see. Because that will enable me to think what I need to think. So he's been honest with God, and now he's pleading with the Lord, cause me to see. Cause me to see correctly. Cause me to think correctly. And notice these three requests. Consider, hear, lighten mine eyes. They are made with a sense of urgency. Lest I sleep the sleep of death. God, you've got to consider me. God, you have to hear me. And God, you have to open my eyes. Because if you don't, I'm going to die, is what David is saying. David literally feels that if God does not move on his behalf, that he will die. Again, this is honesty with God. And those words express again the desperateness of the situation. Paul felt this way in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 8. Let's turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength. We were pressed out of measure, above human strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now that's trouble. And that's the way the psalmist is feeling. He is saying, Lord, you have to help me. It's more than I can handle. It's more than I can take. The self-righteous Pharisee says, God's grace is sufficient in all things. And it's true, it is. But do you always feel that way? Do you always feel that way? Do you always know that? No, you don't. Sometimes you feel like the psalmist did here, and sometimes you feel like Paul did. Lord, you've got to help me. I'm going to die. I can't take it anymore. And that's what the psalmist is feeling. Lord, I can't take it anymore. You've got to do something. That's honesty with God. Lord, I can't take it anymore. This urgency that David was feeling was founded upon certain fears. He went on to say, lest Mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him. That's a fear of his. But he was honest enough to tell God his fears. You know, most of our fears don't make sense. And most of our fears we will never have to face. I mean, they won't be a reality in our life. But how many are honest enough to tell God, Lord, I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of this person. I'm afraid of this happening. Lord, I'm afraid. I know I need to trust you. And I know it's not right to feel this way, but Lord, I'm afraid. And that's what David is saying here, lest mine enemy prevail over me. And then thirdly, a transformation began to take place. But before this transformation took place, David has been honest with God. David has pleaded with God. And then we come to verse 5. Verse 4, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against me, him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. That was his fear. But then notice what he said. But, I have trusted in thy mercy. That's quite a change from verses 1 and 2. Lord, how long wilt thou forget me? Lord, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? The enemy is going to prevail over me, but I trust in thy mercy. You see, his focus and his feelings are changing. How did that happen? Honesty with God, beseeching the Lord. It's just like if someone comes to you and they want your help. Say they need $500. But they tell you that they know they need $500, but they don't feel right in asking for $500, so they ask for $300. Well, they're really not helped, are they? It's the same with God. And that's what we do. We need $500, and what do? We ask for $300. We got to be honest. We got to be honest with God. You see, the sad thing is that habitual hypocrisy is so prevalent that it carries over into our prayer life. That we try even to put on a show before God. So his focus and his feelings are beginning to change. And may I say, in times of discouragement and impatience and self-pity and despair and hopelessness and loneliness, and when you're a prisoner of your own thoughts, guess what? Your feelings need to change. And how does that happen? Being honest with God, and then pleading with the Lord. He says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. That is, Lord, I have taken refuge in thy mercy. Now that tells me he's gone from how long wilt thou hide thy face from me to I have trusted in thy mercy, or I have taken refuge in thy mercy. He has gone from feeling a great distance from God, and now he's beginning to feel a closeness. And the best way to feel close to God is to pray, is to talk with the Lord. And people will say, well, I tried that. I prayed for 30 minutes, and nothing happened. Pray all day. Pray all day. Well, I don't have time to pray all day. Then go in feeling miserable. You keep praying until you get closer to God. You don't put a time limit on prayer. You feel a distance from God, don't lay down and go to sleep. Stay up and pray. Lord, I don't feel your presence. Lord, I've got to feel your presence tonight. I can't take it anymore. But no, people, they get depressed and they go down and they lay in their bed and they go to sleep. That's real concern. Be honest with God. Seek God. Pray. Pray all night. Well, I need my sleep. That may be so, but let me tell you, you need God more than you need your sleep. You need that closeness of God more than you need sleep. Well, I've got to go to work tomorrow. Again, you need that closeness to God more than you need your sleep. You'll be surprised if God shows up while you're praying how rested you'll be. I have trusted in thy mercy. Having done so, he says, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation or in thy deliverance. God hasn't delivered him yet, but he's saying, I've taken refuge in thee, and I know that my heart shall rejoice in thy deliverance. You see, now he has faith. From verses 1 and 2 to faith. And how did it happen? Honesty with God, beseeching the Lord. And then he said in verse 6, I will sing unto the Lord. The word sing there comes from a verb which means to turn about, to travel. It is a word picture of one who sings wherever he goes. I will sing unto the Lord. He has been brought from verses 1 and 2 to I will sing unto the Lord. He has been brought from how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? To he hath dealt bountifully with me. There's quite a change. Quite a change from verses 1 and 2 to verses 5 and 6. And I believe that you and I would experience the same transformation if we were honest with God. Honest with God and beseech the Lord. You have to be honest with God about your sins. You have to be honest with God. Confess them. And then you have to plead for God's help. You have to be honest with God concerning your wayward thoughts. Lord, I didn't say such and such with my lips, but Lord, I thought it. He knows. Be honest with God. God, you've got to help me. Lord, I need you to help me. Because if you don't, Lord, I'm going to die. I can't handle it. So this psalm started with David in sorrow. It ends with David in song. And I do believe if we followed this pattern, a lot of sorrow would be turned to song. It started with David feeling forgotten of the Lord. It ends with David feeling bountifully blessed of the Lord. And the way that David got from verses 1 and 2 to verses 5 and 6 was honesty with God. And a pleading with God in prayer. Seeking what he needed from God. Again, when praying, do not pretend to be something or somebody that you're not. Be honest. Be honest with God. Plead with God concerning your need. But you have to be honest with God concerning your need. I believe God blesses the individual that is honest with Him. This is the way to a life of song. Verse 6, I will sing. This is how we get there. We all have verses 1 and 2 experience. Is it right? No. But that doesn't change the fact that we have those experiences. Be honest with God. And you'll be amazed. You be honest with God. You tell God what you need. You plead with God concerning your needs. And you'll be amazed at what God does. You can go and you can hide somewhere, but that won't fix anything. Or you can go and tell God. You can go and tell the Lord and plead with Him. It works. And sometimes we just have to realize this truth. Sometimes it's going to take more than 10 minutes in prayer. It may take more than an hour. But I believe it's time that God's people got on their knees and became honest with God. Just tell God to just pour it all out before the Lord. That's the only way that revival will happen. The only way. But there has to be honesty with God. You have to tell Him. And there's no need to fear God to do that. If you fear telling God how you feel, you have a misconception concerning God. Because He already knows how you feel. He already knows. He already knows. And He hasn't struck you yet. Tell Him. Just like if someone comes to you and is honest with you, you just can't help yourself. You just deal with it differently. You deal with honesty differently than you do dishonesty. And I believe God's the same way. So let's be honest with the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.